We have Nell joining us. She's going to be concluding our series on Jesus and money. Nell has a great way of speaking, lots of insight. I know you're going to enjoy the message. Nell is a career counselor, and it says an artist by heart, but I think those of us who know her well could probably just say artist, period. She's quite talented. So we are looking forward to hearing from her this morning, so we welcome Nell up for the message.
You have to be careful what you say into the mic when it's turned on. I went downstairs earlier and I was talking to my kids. I said, you can tell me confidential, deep, dark secrets right now. But they didn't say anything. So good morning. So the sound of a top that is broken and this dripping sound is the sound that is so annoying because you realize, oh my goodness, I have to have that repaired. It's just such a draining, horrible sound. But the sound of snow melting and the dripping that's created as it comes off your roof, that is the best drip, isn't it? So this morning I am giving you the last of three messages about generosity. And Pastor Josh already talked about the parable of the talents, the master who left three people with different amounts of money. And when he came back, he evaluated what they had done with it. To me, that's always a very convicting kind of message to hear again. The other message was about the rich ruler who asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And because Jesus knew what his heart was like, he said, well, you have to give away all of your money. It doesn't mean that's a message for everybody, but God could see the heart. Well, today I'm speaking from a different passage this morning, talking about generosity as a lifestyle. But I want to ask you, at the end of last week's sermon, if you were here, Josh did give us a piece of advice and something we could take action on. And he said, maybe you could talk to someone about money, somebody who you know is already ahead of you, who is living a life that inspires you, who in some way is handling their money that in a way that you would like to emulate. And he said, try to open a conversation and talk to somebody like that, or at least talk to somebody in your life about money in general. What are your goals? So every time we hear a message, there's always one thing to do. And as you take notes today, if you don't even want to follow the notes, that would be fine with me. You could just take a blank piece of paper and only write down the things that you are really inspired to do. I do have a couple of to-do items if you want to take them. But there's the good things that we can learn from Scripture always benefit us when we actually take action on them, right? So I encourage you as you take notes, if there's something that you would really like to do, then circle that part so that there's something we take action on when we're done. So when we're generous, our perspective, our impact, our influence are all enlarged. And God wants us to be generous in our lives. Of course, there's so many ways that we can be generous. We can be generous by the amount of time that we give to people, generous in our service, in our praise of others, how we offer sympathy for someone else who's going through a hard time, forgiveness, showing love in different ways, compliments or kindness, paying attention to the needs of people, listening, and giving money. So there's so many different ways to be generous. Giving money is just one of those ways. And I know that already there's so many generous people here, and today we just happen to be talking about money. So Chris, is my mic working for you? Okay. So the Bible does talk a lot about money and all the good things that you can do with money. Investing your money is good, okay? So he who gathers money little by little makes it grow, it says in Proverbs. Enjoying the results of your hard work and seeing the fruit that comes from that in the form of money, that's also good. Saving and planning is also good, says in Proverbs 21. A wise person lays aside some of his or her wealth for the future. Poverty, in fact, is not next to godliness, and there is no virtue in poverty. There's also dishonest poor people and dishonest rich people. In Job's case, God allowed his wealth to be removed and then restored in double the amount. So he had both poverty and he had wealth, and God was looking at his heart. So money isn't really the issue, it's about attitude. But money does reveal a lot about our attitude. It says in 2 Corinthians, give according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. So sometimes there is erroneous teaching about how you just have to give until you're bleeding. And actually, the Bible says that we want to give from a generous heart, and there's many, many ways to do that. So generosity is part of what we do with money. And our scripture for today is from Luke 21. And the series is about what Jesus said. And this is Jesus describing a woman who gave money. So Luke 21, Jesus looked up and saw some rich people tossing their gifts into the offering box. He also saw a poor widow putting in 2 pennies. And he said, I will tell you that this poor woman has put in more than all the others. Everyone else gave what they didn't need, but she is very poor, and she gave everything that she had. Let's just have a quick prayer to ask God to open our hearts. Dear Lord, we thank you that 2,000 years ago, the words that you spoke were recorded and we can be inspired by them today. Help us not just to skim over this, but to really pay attention and to learn from what you said. Help us to have hearts that are generous, to have attitudes and spirits that are pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I don't know what that woman looked like. I don't know if her clothes were tattered. I would guess she only had one outfit, one piece of clothing. She probably went unnoticed. And yet she was someone that Jesus pointed out. Look at her. Here is someone who is going to the temple and giving from the little that she had. And he noted her heart. Of course, Jesus can see the heart. So I doubt that there's anyone in this room who disagrees with generosity. I bet that everybody here wants to be more generous. In fact, everybody here is giving in so many ways. I know that already. There's many people volunteering. In a way, I'm kind of preaching to the choir. But isn't it nice to be reminded that God wants to bless us and he wants to help us? And we can have an attitude of generosity. So we already have the same goal. We all have the same goal of being generous. And I want to go through a couple of different descriptions of the idea of generosity. And the first is, why be generous? To be a little like Christ is one reason. So we know that God implants good things in us. One of the desires that he gives us when he created us, we're made in God's image, he gave us a desire to do good. And Jesus ultimately gave his life. What an example to us. We can be a little bit like Christ when we give in different ways. The second thing is that we can invest in something that is eternal. Something that lasts longer than the clothes, the furniture, the car, and so on and so on. The things that go down in value. True assets are the things that go up in value. But the things we don't want to invest in are the things that go down in value. Well, when we invest in something that's eternal, we know that it's appreciating and has more and more value over time. We know that heaven is not our real home. And that's such a consolation many times. And we know that people, not stuff, are what's important. We're supposed to be using things and loving people and not the other way around, right? I love this quote from Martin Luther. He said, I have held many things in my hands and have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in the hands of God, that I still possess. Whatever you place in the hands of God is still yours. He holds it for you. And when you invest in things that are eternal, you know that that's an asset that will continue to grow. We also want to be generous to follow the instruction of Jesus. God doesn't actually need our money, but he knows it's good for us. God's commands are always for our benefit. And when you realize that, then you look at things much differently. Okay, God, you've asked me to give. What is the benefit to me? How would you like to bless me through this? So we want to follow the instructions of Jesus. Third, we want to show our love for God. Generosity is gratitude in action. It says in 2 Corinthians, since you excel in so many ways, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. I'm not commanding you to do this, but I'm testing how genuine your love is. So being generous is one way that we can show the love that we have for God. It's our gratitude in action. It's also to acknowledge that we are managers of the resources with which God has entrusted us. So we are managers. That story of the talents from previous week was all about how actually all that we have is God's, and we are managing his resources under our care. So every time we're generous, it's actually a reminder to ourselves that it's God's money. It's his resources, our talent, not just the money, but our talent, our ability, our health, whatever we have is all God's. One of the benefits and one of the reasons to be generous is also to counteract materialism. So we all know in our hearts that there's more to living than acquiring. We have somehow gotten, we get tempted, we get into this track of thinking that the meaning of life is to gather up stuff. How much more can you have? But when we're generous, we counteract materialism. So God knows it's good for us. He says, you be generous and you'll have less of those snags. It's one of the traps of the enemy to make us materialistic, to make us focused on money. So being generous is a way to counteract that. How good is that for us? It says in Ecclesiastes, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. It's like the rich, greedy person who says, how much, or you ask him, how much do you need? He says, just a little more. That's what materialism does. That's what greed does. It makes you feel like there's never enough. But God's plan for us is to have a heart of contentment. It says in Luke 12:34, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you know that kind of person who has like a heavenly spirit? Or like a glow about them, because they're focused on things that matter in life. They're focused on what I think of as treasure in heaven. They stop and look you in the eye. They take the time to hear what's going on for you, or they take the time to bake you a meal or whatever. Or maybe they just have a spirit of joy and enthusiasm. They have that kind of spirit that is full of treasure. Full of good things. They recognize that what they're really after is treasure in heaven. And that's the kind of spirit I'd like to have more of. In fact, in doing this message, every time I do a message, I go, why do I go through all this work? Why am I doing this? And I tell you, my biggest reason is that it helps me grow. As I study the Bible, I'm reminded of how I need to grow. And I went through this preparation. I said, Lord, I want to have a generous spirit. I'm going to have the kind of spirit that blesses you, blesses others, and helps me. I'd like to be that kind of person who has a treasure in heaven. And then, you know what? That ends up overflowing in my life and blessing others. So when we give, it changes the focus of our hearts. Our relationship with God is all about attitude, the state of the heart. So notice the contrast of that poor widow who in that economy, she did not own land or have a way to support herself. And the wealthy people would come along with their jingling heavy coins and make a lot of money and be flamboyant in the way that they gave. And they were all about greed or pride and showing others how much they gave. But she came in and she had just a little bit to give. You couldn't hear it fall into the treasury. It was the tiniest, smallest coin. So we can also see the contrast of a heart that is focused on God and generosity, or a heart that's focused on sort of worldly things. So I've given you a little bit of a contrast there. The values outside of God are focus on self, in contrast with focusing on God. Operating on credit versus owing nothing to anyone but love. Keeping everything you earn or give to others in need. Trust in your own judgment or trust in God for guidance. What I make is mine. Or the Lord is the rightful owner of everything I have. or wealth and recognition matters most, compared to eternal life and honor before God counts the most. You can see the heart of the person whose values are outside of God. Things like envy and fear and greed and pride and dishonesty and mine, mine, mine. Or the heart that is thankful, trusting God for provision, content, humble, fair, and asking for wisdom from God. So for Christ followers, money isn't really about money. Money is all about the heart. So number six, why be generous to demonstrate and develop your faith? It says in James 2, faith without works is dead. So we need both. We need both works and we need faith. One without the other doesn't make any sense. Just like your body without the spirit is dead, so your works without faith are dead. So do you ever feel stale from watching too much Netflix? Or you just won too many reruns? I think that's kind of the feeling we have when we spend our time studying the Bible without the application. Yes, we need to study the Bible, but we also need to apply it, right? We need both. And that's very true of generosity. So generosity is a way to develop our faith and to demonstrate it. And number seven, it's a way to give back after receiving so much. So in Luke 12, it says, from everyone who's been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who's been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I often feel a weight of responsibility. Anybody in North America, most of us, we have so much in so many ways. And we are asked to give back. And that's not just sort of a trite community saying, oh, well, it's my way of giving back, as if we are just so amazing. Actually, we are asked to give back. We are supposed to give back. God asks us to give back after receiving so much. Who might be your beneficiary? So when you think about generosity, who says a lot about you? There's lots of places to give. There's lots of people who have needs. But who says as much about me as it says about the needs of the world? So if you don't know where to give, look at how God made you. To whom would you like to give? Who would you like to be the beneficiary of your generosity? Who stirs your heart? What kinds of issues are you concerned about? Who is your target? So all of us have different temperaments, different personalities, different background, different experiences, different family upbringing, all kinds of differences. And the who that we are influences the who that becomes our beneficiary. And I think sometimes that we get caught up in thinking it's all about how much. But actually, generosity has a lot to do with looking within and asking, Lord, what kind of cause would you like me to give to? What would you like me to do with my dollars? Not the amount, but who? Who would you like to give to? And what kinds of problems are you attracted to? In fact, the next question that relates to this is, what makes you mad? If you can figure out what makes you mad, you can also uncover what you really care about. Boy, does it ever tick me off, all these potholes in the road. Well, then maybe you're an engineer. Of course, not that that ever comes up in our family. Paul doesn't complain when he's driving, for the most part. But the things that tick us off, I don't like when somebody cuts somebody else off in a conversation. That really bothers me. I've done it myself. But it's because I care about listening. That shows my heart. So what makes you mad shows what you care about. And what people tend to get your attention? That tells you something about the places that you might want to be generous. Where are you drawn to? And also, what biblical examples inspire you? Maybe you're someone who thinks of Barnabas, who was an encourager. Maybe you think of someone like Paul, who spearheaded and started many churches, who was an entrepreneur, and so on. What are the biblical examples that inspire you? By the way, the description of the widow's donation of her pennies was part of a warning to the spiritual leaders of the day also. It's not just the story of the woman who gave those pennies. It's also a word of warning to the spiritual leaders. They were not caring for the widows properly, and their systems and their methods left the most vulnerable destitute. So there is a lesson to be learned about how to give in that story, but there's also a lesson to be learned about how to put our generosity towards societal inequities. We need to be caring for the widow, caring for the poor, the orphan, the stranger. Those are things that need our generosity. So if you're a teacher, you want to provide information or help improve literacy. Maybe that's something that calls your heart. If you're an engineer, you may want to dig a well or build a road or notice ways to improve structures or systems. If you're an entrepreneur, you might be drawn to microloan projects to invest in business owners, small business owners who are very poor around the world. If you're a parent or you have a heart for children, you'll notice the needs of kids, and so on, and so on, and so on. So what is in your heart? What gets your attention? Because that's where God wants to bless you with generosity. Not that the question of how much, that's where we always camp. We always get stuck there. How much? Instead, maybe we could focus on who. Who should be our beneficiary? And what does God want to do in my heart as I think about the recipient of my money? What can we expect when we are generous? Well, the Bible has some amazing things that happen when we are generous. So one big thing, so that's our next point. What can you expect when you're generous? So what happens? We get joy as a result. Joy is a big bonus that I look for in my life. In fact, if you're thinking that you're generous, but you're not joyful, you're not doing it right. One of the tests of generosity is whether or not you're joyful. So when I'm balancing the books and looking after my part of the financial planning or whatever in our home, sometimes I get grumbly. And you know that, don't you? I'm like, "Grr!" And I am often, it is a prayerful opportunity for me because I think I want to have a heart that is honoring to God. I want to have a joyful spirit. And I believe God blesses me in my attitude just as much as the amount that I give. So I try to live this. I really do. So if we don't have joy, we are not doing it right. And that's a big challenge. The second thing is blessing. Now, God knows the best way to bless us. Okay? We can expect both joy and blessing from giving. One of the things I have done in my life is looked for that blessing. Do you know there's the reticular activating system in your brain that when you name a kid, whatever name you give your child, then all of a sudden you meet all these other parents who've named their kid the same name, and you're like, "Oh, I thought it was so unique." When you buy a car of a certain type, then all of a sudden that's the kind of car that you see on the highway. And when you start looking for something, you will find it because your brain will help you along. So when you start looking for blessings in your life, and some of you that are here are frustrated because you feel like you don't have enough or that you've got issues with money or whatever, I want to challenge you to change your perspective and look for blessing. Look for the blessing that God wants to give you in your life from being generous. When you start looking, you will find it. And, you know, there's that thing that's popular right now is to journal gratefulness every day. There's all kinds of books about journaling gratefulness. I actually try to do this. Before I go to sleep, when I'm lying in bed, the last thing I try to do is go over in my mind the most wonderful moment of the day. Because I believe that increases my joy. And I'm not one of those people who gets a real kick out of being grumbly. I do grumble, I do get frustrated, but then I'm not really happy for a long time. I don't like living that way. So I try to have more joy in my life, and one of the things I do to do that, to get that, is to focus on the good things in my life, to look for God's blessing. And when you look for His blessing, what happens is you see more of it and you get more of it. God literally will reinforce that blessing. And there's a blessing from generosity. So ask God to show you, "Lord, what are you doing in my life to bless me for my generosity?" You might be putting in that little bit, that little coin in the treasury, but if you're giving in some way, God wants to bless you. When you look for that, I promise you, your blessing will multiply. It says in Luke 6:38. Okay, so this is in scripture. I didn't just make this up. If you give, you will get. Your gift will be returned to you in full and overflowing measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Whatever measure you give to use, you use to give, large or small, will be used to measure what is given back to you. So if you take a big measuring cup to give, that's the kind of measuring cup that's going to be given back to you. And if you take a tiny little teaspoon to give, that's the kind that is going to be given back to you. Now, of course, we're including all the things like attitude, heart of generosity, many ways to give, okay? But we will receive a blessing when we're generous. It says in Proverbs 11, the world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Do you know people that are stingy, rich or poor? They're like kind of bent over, almost like their bodies are getting smaller. That's like the look of a stingy person. But the person who's generous, their arms are open, their way of being is large. And that's actually in the Bible. It says in Proverbs 11, when one man gives freely, yet he gains even more. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. So we can look for that refreshing in our own lives. God wants to bless us as we bless others. So now, if you are at the edge of burnout for some reason in your life, in your job, in your family, relationships, in your finances, then you're not doing it right. You need to have a heart of joy, and you need to look for God's blessing. Are you giving freely? Are you refreshing others with a generous heart? When you're doing it right, it's supposed to come back to you. That's the right way. You also will notice provision from God. God provides for us. In 2 Corinthians 9, it says, "For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all that you need. And then you will always have everything that you need and plenty left over to share with others." I love that verse. God will generously provide all that you need. And maybe that's a verse you want to camp on and say, "Lord, I ask you to provide all that I need." We also can expect dividends from our eternity portfolio. So I thought I would actually create a physical portfolio here. I still use hard copy files in my house. And, you know, you have little investment things or different files of things. And I decided, you know what? Probably we should have been keeping... it's empty, Paul. It's not good. But we have been giving... But I have not been keeping track of the receipts. And I thought, boy, I should be. I should be keeping track of how am I investing in my eternity portfolio? And then I noticed that I missed something here. So I decided I should put a smiley face on it. I better be doing it with joy, right? And I know that God will promise me dividends, both now and in eternity. So don't forget this one thing it says in 2 Peter. Don't forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Now, Johnny Erickson Tada, who is a quadriplegic, well known, she talks about this verse in the light of suffering and how her heart of kindness towards others and her long-suffering spirit actually will yield her dividends in the future, that God will bless her back, that maybe right now here on earth life can be hard, but that we will be paid back in huge amounts, like maybe a day here is worth 1,000 years in heaven. So we can do the same thing as well with our money. When we give with a generous heart, God wants to bless us many, many fold, both now and in eternity. We also can find that generosity creates a cycle of giving, blessing, and joy. So this is what you can expect if you're generous, okay? You can expect this, okay? And you can actually look for this cycle, giving, blessing, joy. Or you might actually start in a different spot. joy. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so grateful. Oh, I'm going to give. And then blessing. Or maybe you start with the blessing and start noticing God's blessing in your life. God wants this cycle to continue, and it goes on and on and on, okay? The more you give, the more you're blessed, the more you're able to give, and so on. Joy results in giving, and giving results in joy. In 2 Corinthians 9, it says, "Now God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed, and he will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." I like that, the harvest of your righteousness. "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." So there's this investing the seeds in the soil, and then the harvest, and then keep on giving, and then the result is thankfulness. This is an illustration of the kind of cycle that can be happening as we're generous. Next, I want to talk about how to be generous. So the problem is we all want to give, but there's too much month at the end of the money. We all need to figure out how to live with the amount of money that we have. There's never enough. It's easy to look at somebody else and say, well, it looks like they have a lot of money. And what's interesting is I have some relatives and friends who are on all levels of the spectrum. And I can see this happening where no matter how much money you have, there's always the wealthy people who are one subdivision over. I thought that's so strange. I'm like, I thought I was in the wealthy subdivision. Actually, it's one over. Or you can look at it the other way and notice that maybe you're visiting someone poor and they say, but we're not poor. Those are the poor people. We need to be giving to the poor. The problem is we all have a limited amount of money and we all need to plan in some way. So my suggestion is that we would put our bills on equal billing. That's one idea. There's lots of ways to handle your finances. But I find when I have my months all the same, when all the bills look the same through every month, then I don't get as many surprises that hijack my whole financial planning. And it also paves the way for consistent giving, giving in a pre-authorized way or in a consistent, planned way. So to be generous, now I already talked about joy, but I'm going to say it again. How we're supposed to be generous is we're supposed to have joy in the process. So we don't just get the joy after we give the item. We are to be joyful in the process. So have you ever challenged yourself to have joy while balancing your bank statements? I told you I already do that. I had challenged myself to do that. I said, God, will you please give me joy? 2 Corinthians 9 says, "Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound, not in money, but in good works." God wants us to have many good works as the fruit of our life. So we're asked to be generous with joy in the process. So we're also asked to be generous with a little planning. There are lots of examples in Scripture about people who, I already read the Scripture about he who saves a little bit of money little by little gradually has more. There are lots of other illustrations from Scripture about planning and planning to be generous. There is a big difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. One is about sort of the letter of the law, and one is about the spirit of the law. In fact, you can find illustrations all through Scripture of people who were focused on one or the other. That they were like, okay, if I, in order to obey God, if this is about the amount, then I'm just going to make sure that I have that amount, or you know, I'm going to make sure that I'm doing what I'm told, but then I'm going to live as I please. We're both supposed to do the spirit of the law, but also look for the intention of the law. And in fact, we're not under the law of the Old Testament. We're under complete generosity in the New Testament. All that we own belongs to God, and we get to give whatever we want. But we're always asked to do it with joy, and planning is a big part of that. Planning, to me, helps me to do this with joy so that I don't get as frustrated. So Robert Kiyosaki, who's a wealthy real estate investor, he talks about if you give 100 people $10,000, statistically a couple years later, 80% would have zero, 16% would have 10,500, and 4% would have multiplied it to 20,000. Okay? So what those people do, the four people who multiplied it, they decided to put their money into the different categories: give, and save, and invest. And so in our family, Paul is, when our kids were little, I would, you know, talk about this theory. You know, we need to, of course, we have a spending or a budget, and then we have saving, and then we have giving. But Paul was always the guy who would actually go out and break down all the money into the change, because I'm like, oh, how tedious. But he'd come home, and he'd give the kids the money in the right allotment, okay? So then they could break it up, and they would put their dimes in the right categories. And from very early, we wanted to teach them that. And still, to this day, we have this challenge, this ongoing desire to be giving. And so one of the ways you can do that is actually to rename your bank account. Did you know that you can open bank accounts and then give them a nickname with certain banks? The banks of Scotiabank, Royal Bank, Tangerine will do it, CIBC, I think TD, I'm not sure. I didn't research all of them, but there's a few that will do this, a good number of them, that if you open a bank account, you can rename it, nickname it, whatever you like. So I do that because it helps me so that I don't have to memorize the number. Instead, I'm just going to look at the title. How easy is that? So when you nickname your bank accounts, well, what are you going to call them? Spending, saving, and sharing. So easy, okay? And then all you have to do is set up pre-authorized, you know, move it from one place to the other, do some transfers. It's not hard. But, you know, we all think that somehow we need to be spiritual, and we need to just feel spontaneous in our giving and just give and have the money ready to go, and that would be truly spiritual. I'll tell you that planning is very spiritual. When you can plan it out and give, that is very honoring to God. So we can also look at when to be generous on that same note. We can give regularly, and we can give spontaneously. And when you have those three different bank accounts, it kind of facilitates that process, enables you to do that. So if you're struggling with debt this morning and you're listening to me, or maybe you're discouraged about your money, or maybe you're frustrated with the idea of money or giving, and you think, oh, those church people are always talking about money, I want to ask you to try something different. I want you to start somewhere different in the who, what, where, why. In fact, if I could write my notes for you, I would have, or could have, created a circle with the who, what, where, why, and how all the way around the edges. And we can start with, you know, the what to give, which is what people tend to do. What should I give? Okay, should I tithe on the net? Should I tithe on the gross? Is tithing from the Old Testament? Blah, blah, blah. You get all caught up in that, and then you go, well, forget it. Well, maybe we should start in a different spot. Maybe we should think about who. Who is calling my heart? Who is the one that I seem to notice a lot? Or how? Okay, I'm going to start with the joy. Okay, I'm going to start with, well, we don't have pennies anymore, but you can start with a nickel, Canada. How can I give this nickel with the most joy possible? And maybe start praying about what God has in store for you in the area of generosity. And start somewhere else on that cycle instead of the part you always get snagged on. So I want to give you just a little bit of bonus material. I want to tell you about where I like to be generous. So there's so many excellent causes to give to. I couldn't give you this message today without talking about the local church. I have benefited from being a part of the local church. I love coming here. I love the community. I love the people that I hang out with. I appreciate what I learn from you all, how you inspire me, or hopefully we can learn alongside of one another or serve one another together. I love being a part of a local church. And I want to just say, Paul and I love to give the bulk of our donation money to the local church. Because as managers of his money, we believe in the local church. Now, you're the manager of God's resources under your care, so you can give your money wherever you like. We're simply asked to be generous with all the resources that God has for us. I believe in the local church, and I know many of you do too, for so many reasons. So the church is not perfect. I'm reminded of that. I grew up and got some snags from being in a church, different churches over the years. Everybody's got an opportunity to forgive somebody else when you're part of a local church. That's true. The local church is not perfect. But the local church is the hope of the world because it's the place that we can encourage one another to go and keep doing good works. The church is a connecting point for Christian living. It provides a faith community. And when you think about the employees and volunteers of different Christian organizations all across Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge, Guelph, whatever, this local area, all of those people who are in those positions are going to a local church. They're being encouraged in their local church. So I believe giving to the local church benefits them who benefit the community. The local church also serves our community. I know many of us have been involved in so many different things like Project Give and Halloween for Hunger and on and on and on. We want to benefit our community. So if I care about my community, I want to give to my local church so that we can bless the local community. We're meant to be salt. Salt is little bits all over the place if it's going to do any good. So we're doing the little bit here, the most that we can. The church is a place also that supports people at all stages of life, helping families raise their kids with biblical principles, or visiting the sick, supporting the elderly, birth, marriage, death, all the different stages of life. And you know, when there's a problem, who do we call? Is there a pastor? Is there someone maybe that's a volunteer at the local church? I have siblings in other parts of Canada, and I recently had a conversation with one of my siblings and said, well, what about the local pastor? Do you think that we could get him or her involved? The local church is all over the world. We're meant to be salt and light. So I believe in giving to the local church. And did you know that although the local churches may not get a lot of media or visibility, a lot of press, the local church is still very much recommended by counselors, social services, employment agencies. I've worked in those fields, and I hear it all the time. When someone comes in, one of the questions that's asked is, are you part of a faith community? It is part of the fabric of our larger community, and we are offering an amazing service in many different ways. So I want to give to the local church. I believe that it's the hope of the world. We're meant to be Jesus to the world, and giving our dollars and being generous in different ways is what we're asked to do, and God wants to bless us with it. So I assume I've raised lots of issues today, and I hope I've sparked some ideas. I have definitely not covered everything, and if you've got questions, then you can just bring those to our new senior pastor, because he's on board. He'll answer all your questions about money. But we want to ask God to put blessing in our life. So as we turn to prayer, which I'm going to do in just a moment, I want to use the illustration of a closed hand or an open hand. And when we have a closed hand and we say, it's mine, I'm not going to let go of what I have, then God can't really bless us. So this isn't just about dollars or the figures or the amount. It's about the attitude. It's about the heart. It's about the spirit, right? But when we open our hands and say, God, everything that I have is yours, then he can also bless us. So as we pray, if you're comfortable, maybe just on your lap, open your hands if you'd like to, or maybe start with a closed fist and open them up slowly, whatever is the attitude of your heart. And let's just pray together. I want to pray for you. Dear God, thank you for so many scriptures about money. You lived on the earth, you lived in real time, Jesus, and you understand the hardships of our world. You understand the snags of living and the feelings that we have as we try to manage our resources. And this morning we are reminded that you want us to be generous. Generous not in negative ways, but in positive ways. So Lord, we open our hands to you. We just lay our hands open before you. Lord, I know that there are people here who are struggling, who need you to give to them, who have a bank account that's screaming, or that have debt, or that have pressures and bills that are weighing upon them. Lord, with this open heart that they have, this open hand, I pray that you would give in to them, that you'd give in to their lives, that you would bless them, help them to notice the blessings that are already in their life. And God, help us to be generous in our spirits, generous with our money. Help us to be generous and give to the causes that echo the things you care about. Help us to be like little Christs in the world, in little ways. Help us to be salt in this community. Help us to be generous. Help us to remember, to take action, and do something different about the way that we're generous. And God, we promise that we'll give you the praise and the thanks. We promise that we'll be thankful as much as we can. Help us to be generous. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.